Thanks, Terry, Diane, and all of you who read those great passages of Scripture that speak of the glory and majesty of God. Our singing and what has been spoken today reminds me of what the Apostle Paul spoke of in his letter to the Ephesians. He said this, he said, "Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And all this is a really great introduction to this morning, to Outreach Sunday. I want to begin this morning by reading a passage from the book of Colossians, chapter 4. I'm reading just verses 2 through 4. It's also in your bulletin, so you can read off that if you want. It says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. May you open our eyes to the truth. May it penetrate our hearts. Incline our hearts to you, Lord, so that we may worship you. And may our worship of you result in a passion to reach out to a world that needs you so desperately. We pray this in your great, powerful name. Amen. Can you believe what you've been seeing on the TV this past week? How does that make you feel, I wonder? I don't know about you, but as for me, I have felt the whole gamut of emotion on this one. I felt great sadness as I see the destruction, the desperateness, the horrific conditions, the loss of life. I felt frustrated at the logistical complications. I felt proud of the courageous workers who are helping people and saving people. I felt anger and unbelief as I hear about all the lawlessness, the looting, the shootings, the rape, the hijacking of medical vehicles, and assorted other atrocities that have frustrated the relief efforts. I was enraged when I read how Islamic extremists rejoiced in America's misfortune, giving the storm a military rank and declaring on the internet that Private Katrina had joined their global jihad. In the midst of trying to process all of these emotions, I thought of a couple of passages that helped me a little bit, give me perspective. Two realities of what God sees when he looks down from heaven. The first one was in Psalms 53. Many of you are familiar with this. It says this, "God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Everyone has turned away. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one." Those are hard, extreme words. But this is our condition apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ. Now let me read to you from another passage. This one is in Matthew. It says this, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Here we see Christ's heart. He knows their lost condition, and he's moved with great compassion. We live in a lost, hurting, rebellious, lawless world. But can you relate with that? I don't know sometimes. You know, yeah, when we are watching TV and seeing what's going on, we could see that. But around here, it's part of Orange County, lost, that's not a very attractive reality. Most people I observe come off like they know exactly where they're going, and they're in a big hurry to get there. Hurting? It's a bit too needy for us, especially if you're a man. We'd rather keep things close to the vest. We need to keep up the appearance that we've got it all together. Rebellious? Well, at least it's not very obvious for us, oftentimes. We have pretty good manners, social sensibilities. So we keep our rebellion under the surface. How about lawlessness? We'd never stoop to stealing TVs from the local store, would we? But we might fudge on our taxes. We might exaggerate on our resume. We might even cheat on a test. But as they say, beauty is only skin deep. And when you peel away the facade, we're still left with lost, hurting, rebellious, lawless people. And this is the world we find ourselves in. And it's not an accident. This is very much God's intention, to place us here in this place, in that condition. The question is why? For what purpose? I've titled this message, "For the Honor of His Name." And that's really the answer to the question. For the honor of His name. It's really a purpose statement. And it's the basis for Christian outreach. I've been bumping into that statement, "for the honor of his name," a lot lately, or at least the idea that it conveys. In my readings, even in Dave's series, this last series, one thing I read was a quote from John Stott. He was commenting on the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 1, verse 5, which says this. It says, "Through Jesus Christ," and here it is, "for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith." Now, Stott's comments were focusing on the "for his namesake" part of that verse when he said this. Listen to this. We should be jealous for the honor of his name, troubled when it remains unknown, hurt when it is ignored, indignant when it's blasphemed, and all the time determined that it shall be given the honor and glory which are due it. Is that how you feel? You know, honestly, when I look at my life and how I feel, I don't feel that way enough. And it's troubled me now that I've sort of been studying this and looking at this, and it's causing me to do a lot of thinking. But it's really an important question. Many of you are familiar with the first question and the answer of the Westminster Catechism. The question: what is the chief end of man? The answer: the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. For people who like things summed up, boiled down, bottom lined, there you have it. If you're a Christian and you're seeking a life of purpose, There it is. It's the highest of all purposes, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So, if glorifying God is our greatest purpose, how do we glorify God? Whenever I read that statement before, I thought of two separate things. I thought of the glorifying God and enjoying Him forever as two different ideas. One, glorifying God, one idea. Enjoy Him forever as another idea. But here's the thing, and I really, really want you to get this. We glorify God by enjoying Him forever. We glorify God by enjoying Him forever. You see, we glorify God when we reveal something about who He is. Maybe it's something about His character. Maybe it's something about His work. Maybe it's something about His work in our lives has been shared today. When you're really stoked about something, you usually want to talk about it. You like to talk about it. Okay, for all of you SC fans out there, these are good days to be a Trojan, isn't it? Pretty heady days. You got your t-shirts out, you got your license plate frames up. You like yapping about the team all the time, about the game, about the prospect of maybe a third consecutive title. You're enjoying it. And it's the natural thing to do to want to glorify the team, isn't it? If you guys aren't into football, how about music? Maybe you discovered some great new music. I have friends come up to me all the time and say, oh, you've got to hear this band. This is so great. Here, check this CD out. When we're excited about something, when we enjoy something, we generally like to proclaim it, don't we? The Bible is full of examples of this being encouraged. Let's listen to a few of them. You hear that? I'm sorry, Scott. One more. Sorry, Scott.
O nations of the world, confess that God alone is glorious and strong. Give Him the glory He deserves. Tell the nations that Jehovah reigns. He rules the world. His power can never be overthrown. He will judge the nations fairly. Psalm 96, 7 and 10.
Thanks, you guys. Did you hear those words? Sing praises. Proclaim. Make known. Tell. Why? Because God is amazing. God is awesome. He has rescued us from hell. He gives us hope. His love never fails us. He gives us peace and perspective. He cares like no other. He knows us so intimately, and believe it or not, still wants to have a relationship with us. We need to proclaim more often, I think. If you're Christian, if you're a Christian, and if your primary purpose on this earth is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, then our faith can't strictly be an internal thing. First of all, it's not a biblical idea, and second of all, it doesn't even make sense if you think about it. So we've set aside this day, as Outreach Sunday. But there's something that's really important that I think we need to clarify. That outreach, or missions for that matter, is not our ultimate goal. Worship of God is. I really love what John Piper has to say about this. Listen carefully to this. He says, missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and countless millions fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. And here's an important connection for us today. It's our worship of God that is the fuel for outreach. If you don't cherish anything or something very much, it's pretty hard to acclaim it, isn't it? Do you see the importance in the order of things? The pursuit of God's glory needs to be above the pursuit of man's good in our hearts and as a priority in the church. Otherwise, this is what happens. Our strategies, our motivation becomes man-centered and powerless sentimentality. It is so easy to lose our bearings on this point and become distracted from God while we're striving to serve him. I must tell you, this is an ongoing battle for me, and I think it's an area of vulnerability for all of us. It is so easy to get busy doing ministry that we stop worshiping God. I know you guys have heard the story a lot, but story of Mary and Martha, but I think it's so apropos, I want to read it to you again. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." That is such a good lesson. We can so easily neglect the one needful thing, and that is worshiping God, that we can soon present God as busy and fretful, just like we are. A.W. Tozer had some good things to say about this when he said this. He said, "We commonly represent God as a busy, eager, somewhat frustrated father, hurrying about, seeking help to carry out his benevolent plan to bring peace and salvation to the world." Isn't that true? So here's the question. When worship isn't fueling our outreach or service, what is? Well, a lot of things can. Here's one that I personally have to fight all the time. For the honor of my name. Not for the honor of his name. For the honor of my name. It's so easy to do ministry to hope that people will respond to you in a certain way. Wow, what a good pastor. What a good guy. Whatever the good thing is. The problem is, it's incredibly potent fuel for ministry. The bigger problem is, it's completely unacceptable to God. How about other common motivations? Sometimes we can use our service, we've talked about this a number of times here, but sometimes we can use our service to the Lord as a sort of bargaining chip in our negotiations with God. Something like, look, Lord, all the stuff I've done for you. Now, about that prayer request. Or how about guilt as a fuel for service to the Lord? That can be pretty potent fuel, for a while at least. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever, for the honor of His name. Now, here's another question that we need to ask ourselves, and this one might be really hard. Do you enjoy God? Think about it. We're not going to be good at reflecting the value of God if we don't. So if we're honest, if our answer is, I don't think I enjoy Him as much as I should, what do we do about that reality? I have four suggestions. The first one is pray. This is no secret to God. God knows your heart. Ask Him to open your heart so that you may discover anew His glory. Pray that the things you know about Him, His love, His faithfulness, the hope that He gives, that those things would come alive to you. That the profundity of those things would resonate in your heart and would spark new enthusiasm for Him. Second, be in the Word. This admonition can never be overstated. It is one of the primary ways in which God reveals Himself to us and for us. And when you read, let me make a suggestion. Keep asking yourself the question while you read, what does this tell me about God? It's tough to fall in love with someone you hardly know. Thirdly, pay attention to His creation. His creation reveals a lot about Him. This is something that personally has been a great, great blessing to me of late. I found myself just blowing by things until I finally stopped to look, observe, and examine. You don't have to go to Yosemite or Hawaii to be in awe. Pick a flower or a leaf in your garden. Examine it closely and ask the question, what do I learn about God from this? You're going to be blown away if you pay attention. And I think it's going to give you great joy that the God that we serve is so amazingly creative to make these things. And fourthly, tell each other. Tell each other what God is doing in one another's lives. I don't think we do this enough. I'm not sure why. Maybe we're embarrassed. Maybe we're afraid that we're going to come off as, you know, a little bit too overzealous or too spiritual. That's baloney. Be humble about it, but tell each other what God is doing. So as we learn to enjoy, adore, and cherish God, may our hearts fill to overflowing. And that overflowingness spills out over all of those that we come in contact with. And we can do as Peter says, give the reason for the hope that we have. I need to say this thing, just to make sure. I hope that my words do not make you feel guilty. That is not at all my intention. Talking about this kind of stuff can easily do that. Guilt tends to make us hopeless, resigned, and what I want to do is to help give you hope. Also, there are varieties of gifts in the body of Christ, as the Holy Spirit sees fit to use you. Be yourself. If you're struggling with this, and you know what? Recognize that you're not alone. We all struggle with this. Almost all of us want to do a better job when it comes to outreach. We all struggle with missed opportunities or ineptness in conversations. You're not alone. Again, be honest with God about how you feel and ask Him to earnestly take you where you are and give you some opportunities that you can handle and grow by. For the honor of His name, may that be our fuel, our motivation. As we move out of our comfort zones, expanding our borders, looking beyond ourselves and our territory, with a heart for the lost, all for the glory of God. Will you pray with me? Father, there is so much that we need, and that's okay, because that drives us to depend on You. May we live our lives in utter dependence on You, always. You're the only one that can change us. Lord, I pray that You change our hearts in such a way that we are enraptured by who You are, and that we can't hold back, hold it in. And where the opportunities provide themselves, we proclaim Your name, and that You might be honored as a result. I pray this in Your name. Amen.